This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It's WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons rolling into the 3 o'clock hour here at Scores on Canal Street, just down the street from the Garden. Come on down, join us, have some Jameson, get ready for Celtics OKC Thunder. One of the biggest basketball games of the year in the NBA. The defending champions may be getting a NBA Finals preview. More on that later. Ted Johnson in the house.
Boys, good to see you. Good to be on location. It's been years since I've been out doing a radio show. This is a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Out and about.
Back a lot of great memories. Fun to be here today. Thank you, Jameson.
You know what I love saying? They're great. They gave us these nice sweatshirts. They make delicious beverages. Yeah. Hey, round of applause for Irish whiskey, the best Irish whiskey out there.
It looks. I love it.
Oh, man, those guys are doing Jameson stands over there. That's, guys, easy. The Celtics game is 4 hours from now. Slow down. Slow
your
roll.
Pace yourself.
It's a marathon, not a sprint. Do one for Uncle Fitzy, would you? By the way, I also love saying your name and then this place in order, Ted. Ted scores.
There you go, man. Right? I like that.
Did you ever score in your career?
You know,
did you ever get close?
Yeah, I mean, are we talking off the field or on the field?
No. All right. Good night, everybody. It'll be it's going to be Celtics, Oklahoma City. Ted's feeling it today.
Ted is definitely.
You get Ted out in the wild, man. Watch out.
I get the energy.
I love that. Did you ever get close to actually like a pick that you took to the house?
You know,
like a scoop six.
There was my one interception. It was tipped up in the air, and I caught it, and I rolled 2 yards, and I was about 10 yards away from the end zone. And I tried to get up, and I got hit right away. So I was about 10 yards away from scoring.
But for that 1 second, you thought, I can do this.
This could happen. Yeah, this could happen.
All right, it's 3 o'clock. Dan Ball, that means it's time for the three-point stance on WEEI Afternoons.
319!
180!
19!
118, shut up!
Yeah, there you go!
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bang!
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
Pastrnak, a hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone. A three-run homer and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
All right, gentlemen, it is time for the three-point stance. Three hosts, three takes on the biggest stories going around in the world of sports today. Our order is Andy Hart, then Nick Fitzy Stevens, then Ted Johnson. They're lined up at the table that way, so easy enough. Each host gets 60 seconds to present their opening take about whatever they're hot on today, and then we open up the floor for some discussion on it. Andy Hart, you will go first. You have 60 seconds to present your take. Are you ready?
Ready.
All right, your 60 seconds does begin now.
So this ties into something I said a little earlier. I'm predicting 65 combined points tonight for Tatum and Brown. That's because I believe they are rolling toward the postseason. These big games lately, they have been coming up big time like the stars that they are. And I think sometimes on radio, reporters, we look too much for the stories beyond the obvious ones. And we've talked a lot about it. Peyton Pritchard's fun. Derek White's fun. And they're lucky to have those guys. And that's absolutely true. But I'm a big believer that in all sports, stars win in the postseason. And Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, watching them evolve and mature and see their comfort level with how they play the game of basketball, whether it's on the defensive end of the floor for Jaylen Brown and at times Jason Tatum, or at times just deferring to the guys around them. Jason Tatum, oh, you're going to double me? I'm going to make the right pass. I'm going to build my assists. I think they are maturing in part because I think they got paid, and I think it's easier to defer to others when you already have your paycheck. But I think we love to talk about the underdogs and the depth and the sixth man of the year, Peyton Pritchard. We need to talk a little more often every once in a while just about the great ones, the pillars. The reason that you're going to be an NBA champion this year will be Tatum and Brown and their maturity moving forward.
Interesting.
Wow. All right.
You guys were busting my balls about all the green coming out of my orifices. And listen to you, man.
Well, it was mostly your mouth. But
jeez. You okay? I thought you were going to swear there for a second.
Yeah, you son of... When Ted swears, people watch
it. Yeah, it's a big jar.
Yeah.
All right,
we'll come back to that.
Okay. Andy's playing Homer Honk today with the Boston Celtics. Nick Fitzy-Stevens, are you ready?
I am most indeed prepared.
All right, your 60 seconds for your opening take begins now.
This is probably the biggest surprise coming from my mouth on this day or any other given day. You'd probably be less surprised if you heard me say, let's go Yankees in earnest. But guys, I am doing a pro Boston Bruins three-point stance because after what I saw last night at the building, Ted, that is no more than maybe two good Dwight Evans throws away from us, the TD Garden, where your Boston Bruins spent talentless, without many of their stars and regulars after the trading deadline, emotionally bereft. The gas tank was on empty. Turned things around and had their best period of the season, had their best performance of the season, had their biggest moment of the season in a 3-2 win against the Florida Panthers, coming off Saturday's shocking, yet not necessarily to the afternoon show, 4-0 win against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Sometimes teams rise up when they are free of the star. Sometimes they call that the Ewing theory, Ted. Mm. Bill Simmons made famous, of course. And then also when they are freed of expectations. And sometimes the lingering doubt that is created, is a star going to get traded? Are we going to lose a bunch of our guys or not? The Bruins have none of that to worry about anymore, guys. And they have a beautiful opportunity over the next couple of weeks to play some great hockey, get back in this playoff race, and get all these good people here at Scores at the Garden and all throughout New England back on the wagon. Let's go, Bees.
Wow, wow, wow.
I like
wow.
that. There's some nuance to that.
Okay.
How about
okay.
that, huh? And I hit the come on, Turk. Give me my hit the post on that. Let's freaking go.
I don't think we're host one and host two. We're Homer one and Homer
That's
two.
Correct.
64 slices of American cheese.
Well earned on that, Hawk. All right, Ted Johnson,
yes,
your
sir.
Turn for your opening take. Are you ready?
I'm ready, bub.
All right, your 60 seconds begin right now.
All right, let me ask you guys a question.
All right.
Did you think that Bailey Zappe made Mac Jones a better quarterback?
He did not.
No.
Well, why would you say that?
Because Mac Jones was insecure.
Okay. All right.
And he sulked on the sideline.
Interesting. All right. Very good. You just walked right into my trap. Thank
That's
you.
What we tried to do.
So you have a lot of head scratching kind of decisions. Josh Dobbs was brought in as a free agent, signed a 2-year deal, going into his seventh year.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all trying to wonder what was that about? Is that just to round out the quarterback room, or is it maybe because it's insurance? In case the Patriots want to trade Joe Milton.
Mm.
And so I was against that thought initially, but now I'm starting to wonder if perhaps, if you watch Joe Milton work out this offseason, I mean, he's on all everywhere. He's out mm-hmm. he's working out. He's doing all this training. Reports are that he sees himself as a starter. All right?
Ooh.
And so after what happened at the end of the season last year in that last regular season game against Buffalo where he lights it up, you got everybody in town here thinks that maybe Joe Milton's better than Drake May. I've heard that a lot, a lot, a lot. I'm wondering, and I think that the coaches are worried about Joe Milton having the same kind of effect on Drake May that Bailey Zappe had on Mac Jones. And so they are worried about that dynamic. And so they want to have a guy to back up Drake because I'm thinking they're trying to move Joe Milton. That's my take, and I ain't changing. I'm getting off that. Until the season starts.
My name's Ted Johnson, and I approve this message. Ted, right. That was I had not thought of it that way.
Mm.
That's chewy. That's zesty. And I can see it. And the crazy thing is, you know what, Andy? I want my backup to think he should be a starter. Don't
yeah,
you want
but you don't want him to adversely affect the starter. There's that fine line.
That's
you want him working
too.
Like he can play, but you don't want him thinking he's better than the guy that's playing and creating a weirdness, because Bailey Zappe created a weirdness.
I agree.
There was a weirdness.
I don't think he helped Mac Jones become a better quarterback.
No, okay. And I always say, am I allowed to talk Dan Ball? I know you're supposed to be the maestro here.
No. Let's start with Ted's point.
Okay.
We're free-for-alling. This is
so
good.
Nope. They always say, Ted,
bar.
Even back in your day, Michael Bishop, those guys, that the backup quarterback's the most popular guy in town because he just sits on the sideline. I mean, people can cheer.
Andy, how many people thought that Bishop should have been starting
with
Drew?
Which is crazy.
Yep.
And it would be crazy to think that Joe Milton is better than Drake May, but some people already have talked about it. We've gotten the texts. We've gotten the calls. Nobody will say that, in my opinion, maybe correct me if I'm wrong here, about Josh Dobbs. Dobbs will not be more popular than May.
Never.
It's just the veteran journeyman backup quarterback. So I could see that theory, and I don't know Joe Milton well enough to know the dynamic or whatever's going on, but I've definitely seen the videos, the workout videos. He was throwing the medicine ball against the wall, doing different things, and he's a confident guy. He went out there and performed in the finale, and if all these fans can think he's good enough to start, why can't he?
You don't think his family, you don't think his friends, you don't think all
true.
The fans are in his
pumping
head
him.
All offseason. Yeah. You know what? Hey. You Drake, you won as many games as Drake May did last year, and you played.
Did Drake May do that thing where he rolled to his left and then threw a 40-yard touchdown pass on a rope?
It is. I bet you it is in his head, and I'm just wondering if the coaching staff worries that dynamic isn't a healthy one. It's got to be that backup quarterback relationship with the starter has got to be a healthy one, and I'm just not sure two guys that come in at the same time, one guy in the it was the third overall pick, the other in the sixth round, more as a developmental guy. Who a lot of people think that maybe perhaps has a chance to maybe do something in this league. That guy, I could see the coaching staff worrying about Joe Milton maybe potentially getting in the head of the starter. And really, you don't want that dynamic. I know you want competition, but you don't, at that position of all positions, that's the one I worry about, backups getting in the head of the starter and messing with the kid's head.
Well, there's two things that I would say to that. Number one, you would hope also that Drake May is so confident in his abilities, which it seems he is and should be, given the year that he had last year and the short career that he's had as well, so that it wouldn't bother him, even if Milton was either like trying to rally support in the locker room or, I wouldn't say, overtly undercutting him, number one. And number two, I also would say, well, you know what? If you think you should be, you can try and earn it. That's cool. Why don't you go out there and do what you did in that one game now for another entire season, backing up Drake, working out, improving your game, and then at the end of next season when we maybe don't need you as much, then we'll move you and give you a chance to be the next Matt Flynn, the next Matt Hasselbeck, the next Matt Schaub. Boy, a lot of Matts are the ones who are the backups that have become starters.
I don't think that conversation will be had. You don't really talk to players like that, like, hey, you do this, and then we'll get you out of here. But I could just see that dynamic maybe in the off season being a concern for this coaching staff, considering all the kind of momentum that has been kind of building for Joe Milton, and that to me would concern me if I'm I'm a coach. Hmm. And so, you know what? You know what? It's two guys going into their second year. The room needs a veteran, similar type skill set to the starter. Our future Drake May, Josh Dobbs kind of fits the profile of what, athletically speaking, what Drake May does, because I'm worried about what Joe Milton's attitude is going to be. Is it going to be where it needs to be? Does he know he's the backup? Hey, competition's good, but at the risk of maybe messing with the kid's head that's in front of him, that would concern me.
What else would also concern me, and I don't have this concern, is I think Mac Jones was soft. I think he was kind of a puddle of goo inside. He would have broken at some point, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I like Drake May more than that. I would also be, if I were concerned that Joe Milton threatens Drake May, I would be equally as concerned that I drafted a guy that's threatened by his backup. You know what I mean? Like the alpha dog maybe isn't as much an alpha as we think he is, and growing up with all his brothers and that fighting for everything and all that. I believe in Drake May, but you're right. Why take the chance?
Yeah.
Why take the chance of creating a little fissure?
I'll tell you exactly why, because who do you believe would be able to emulate what they want to do offensively with movement, rollouts, and more better? Would it be the Pastronaut in Josh Dobbs, who's going to be on his fifth team in 4 years? Or would it be Joe Milton, who, when he came out, you know, we did this on a lot of the draft shows and podcasts, Andy, everybody said the kid's athletic prowess and ability was through whatever roof he could jump or backflip through, but not necessarily the processor, if you will, that a guy like Drake May is.
So I would say C to your option, neither.
I think if you lose Drake May, you're porked. I think Josh Dobbs is probably a journeyman backup quarterback type.
You can
usually
take probably out of the equation.
And Joe Milton, do I think he's a future starter? I don't. I think he's always going to be an athletic freak that is just as capable of wowing you positively as he is occasionally wowing you negatively. So I wouldn't. If Drake May goes down, I think you're in trouble either way.
I would tend to agree with you, and I just think that last game against Buffalo probably in some way shaped the offseason and the thinking of Joe Milton, and maybe his behavior, his attitude has changed. And so there's a concern there. Josh Dobson, I'll be honest, I was a little bit surprised that they went there. You got to have a third guy. Mm-hmm. I do like bringing in an older guy, so maybe I'm wrong, but there's a part of me that wonders if it's insurance for in case Joe Milton's attitude to start the season isn't where it needs to be, isn't conducive for support and winning, and doesn't have the kids back. And so that's something I'm watching. I'll be curious how that goes. And I can see maybe perhaps by the end of the training camp, Joe Milton maybe being on another team.
He looked good against Buffalo's third string in a game in January that Buffalo was trying to lose. I mean, just want to put that out there.
All right, gentlemen, let's spend a couple of minutes with the other two topics from the three-point stance today. We'll go Bruins real quick and then wrap with Celtics before Terp joins the show. So, Ted, I want to start with you. Fitzy's point was all positive about the Bruins, two wins in a row after the trade deadline.
Yes, sir.
Not a guarantee that they're going to make the playoffs, but certainly a conversation that they're going to keep themselves relevant. So where do you fall on your Bruins homer honk positivity?
Look, I'm a little bit more apprehensive. I mean, last night's game, I'll be honest, I had zero interest in that game. Mm-hmm. Zero. Mm-hmm. And we talked about it before. We left for the night, and I was like, I really don't really want to watch the game. And all of a sudden, all right, they're down 2-0. No, you know, no surprise. And then I'm gonna see what they're doing in the third. Oh baby, it's 2-1. Okay, and now I'm DVRing, I'm rewinding, I'm going back to see how they score. Okay, mm-hmm. And then you're seeing the fight, you're seeing the effort there. You're seeing just a different level of intensity. You're hearing the broadcasters talk about how loud the TD Garden is, how they haven't heard it this loud. And I'm seeing players act in ways I hadn't seen them act all season long, right? And so I'm like, okay, what's going on here? And then you hear some of the comments that Swayman's making, you know, about just, you know, how guys are bought in. There's this continuity. He's all this positive stuff. Wow, you weren't saying that a few days ago. Why are you saying all that stuff now? Feels like the room is happier or
relieved.
Relieved that maybe that Brad is moved on. And you think about it, he's had the last 2 days, he's been interviewed by the local press here, okay? Brad Marchand, 2 30-minute interviews that he gave in the last 2 days.
With about a 5.5-minute answer average.
It was like the dark cloud. It was depressing. There was no positivity, and you just wonder if that kind of attitude and dark cloud has been hanging over this team all season long, and now it's been removed, and everyone's see boys. Now everyone's
there was
all,
a girl, there was all, a girl there.
Kind of just relieved, and there's a different attitude now that Brad's gone.
Yes, so. Thank you. That's exactly what I'm talking about, Ted. Sometimes you just have to like. You know what's the sweatshirt that was made, you know, foolishly by Patricia or Judge or someone a couple years ago? No one's coming to save us.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. No one's coming to save you, Bruin. So it's either go ahead, crawl into your hole or, you know, get under the ice and get emotionally zambonied for the rest of the season or show some freaking pride. Show some fight.
You got to be honest. Real quick, sorry, Andy. You think about the incidents with Brad Marchand last year. Mm. It all started with him being critical of Swayman. For holding out, right? Mm-hmm. And then you got, Jim Montgomery pushing him in the back. He's on the bench, and he's sitting there pushing him. And it, like, okay, the head coach is like
very strong.
You know, he didn't, like, hit him. But, I mean, have you ever seen a coach, like, kind of put his hands on a captain like that?
No.
Not a long time.
No.
You're right? And then you hear the rumblings about, you know, from our boy Rich that maybe Pasta and Marshawn aren't on the same page. And then you see the behavior after the trade. And you just start to think, you know, I use the word that he was maybe a bad captain, probably a poor choice of words, but I'm not sure that Brad Marchand was the best captain he could probably be. And that this team is relieved now that he's gone. I just feel like there's a little bit of a dark cloud. And partly I put it on the Bruins. The Bruins didn't have a long-term deal for Jim Montgomery before the season started. They didn't have one for the captain. And so it's almost like they should have seen this coming.
And one last point on the Bruins. Best player in hockey since January 1st. Plays for the Bruins.
David Pastrnak?
Absolutely. Leads the league in goals
and
points.
He's not an MVP candidate.
Hey. But you're always giving him the
business. If they make
the
playoffs, he's an MVP candidate.
Okay, what
if
they miss? What if they're a point or two out?
Then he's not an MVP candidate.
Not even a candidate.
Oh, Mr. Awaken 180 doesn't usually do carbs, but now he loves pasta.
Do more to start the year. Do more to start the year, and you would have made the playoffs. That'll be what I'm talking. You come up a game or two short, it's going to be because you weren't great to start the year. Anyway, I'm just saying Pasta's playing really well. That's also interesting when you tie it into Marchand's gone and he's rolling right along. Right.
Oh,
he doesn't seem like he misses his best friend.
Oh, how's that? I hope Rich doesn't like tear an Achilles or anything on that victory lap.
Oh, yeah, he's already taken plenty.
Yeah, he is. Dan, how about wait and go? Are we up against it for Andy's?
I would say we are, and it's convenient because Andy's point was about the Boston Celtics and their fantastic two stars in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and you have an expert that knows more than you about the Boston Celtics joining you in just a couple
debatable
of moments here on the show.
Oh, Turpenstein's monster. I love it.
Justin Turpin joins us next here on WEEI Afternoons. Remember, we're down at Scores on Canal Street, just down the street from the Garden, getting ready for Thunder Celtics. Thanks to Jameson. Justin Turpin up next.
WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson. Weekdays 2 to 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. The Bruins overcame a 2-0 deficit to end the Florida Panthers' six-game winning streak, winning at TD Garden 3-2 last night. Jeremy Swayman made 26 saves on 28 shots, while David Pastrnak had a goal and an assist. Pastrnak is now tied for fifth in the league in points, entering play tonight. Boston visits the Ottawa Senators on Thursday night. The Celtics, meanwhile, wrap up their seven-game homestand tonight when they host the Oklahoma City Thunder. Tip-off is at 7:30. Three players on the injury report for tonight's game. Jason Tatum and Kristaps Porzingis are questionable, while Jaylen Brown is listed as probable. The Red Sox host the Minnesota Twins tonight at JetBlue Park. First pitch is at 6:05. Tanner Houck starts for Boston, and you can catch the game on the FM side, 93.7 WEEI, beginning promptly at 6 p.m. NFL free agency begins today at 4 p.m. In NFL news from earlier today, five-time Pro Bowl defensive end Joey Bosa reached an agreement that was late last night on a one-year $12.6 million deal with the Bills. The Bills have also re-signed safety DeMar Hamlin to a one-year extension, and new within the hour, the Bills are trading Kyer Elam and a sixth-round pick for the Dallas Cowboys in exchange for fifth and seventh-round picks. The Seahawks have agreed to a one-year contract with free agent wide receiver Marcus Valdes-Scantling. Former Eagles running back Kenneth Gainwell agreed to terms on a one-year deal with the Steelers, and Cooper Kupp has officially been released by the Los Angeles Rams. He is a free agent. Celebrate St. Patrick's Day at the 99 Restaurant this Sunday and Monday. Enjoy the traditional corned beef and cabbage dinner, or try the corned beef Reuben with a Lucky Horseshoe Ale. You gotta love the Nines. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. WEEI Celtics insider Justin Turpin joins the guys live at the table here at the Scores, and that's next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Oh, oh! That's nasty.
Oh, yeah. Oh, a kiss to him. No kisses. I just dropped him.
WEEI Afternoons live from Scores on Canal Street, just down the street from the Garden. Big game tonight, Celtics, OKC, Thunder. And joining us now to talk Celtics is our WEEI beat reporter, Justin Turpin, who is also the man of WEEI. I believe this is a double dip.
It is, yeah. Must be a big game.
Jones, and it must be a huge game because this is a potential finals preview. So let's start there, Terp. I put out the poll today, what the confidence level is on Twitter. You pause, creep. On Twitter, I put out the poll just asking what the confidence level of Celtics fans was heading toward the NBA finals. And 84% say either it's a lock that Banner 19 is on its way or they are indeed the best team if healthy. So we know green teamers tend to be optimistic, but do you fall in line with this? I know you're also an optimistic guy.
I do. It's hard not to be optimistic about this team.
Yeah.
I mean, they cruise through half the year and they're going to win like 60 games.
Right.
Like, it's hard not to be optimistic. And the thing is with this team, this is a historically good roster, like one of the best rosters ever assembled. One championship isn't enough. And I think they understand that. And as long as they stay healthy and they just play their game, they're going to be just fine. So I completely agree with that.
Have you blogged that?
Have you done
any research? Like, where does this roster – have you done
it? Is it really like a top five roster all time?
They were top five in point differential in NBA history last year.
No, but what if you – hey, you should do that. That's a good story for the website, and come back to us with the information. Like, what are the top five rosters ever assembled in the National Basketball?
Well, how many Hall of Famers could this roster have? Assuming they win more.
Tatum, Brown,
Holiday, Horford.
Well,
you got four.
All right,
you got four or five.
2013 Miami Heat must probably want to be heard from.
Give
the Warriors, 2016, maybe 2017? Like the Kevin Durant, the Splash Brothers plus Durant, not bad.
Well,
the
86, no.
86 Celtics.
One of the greatest.
Front runners.
It's up for debate if they are.
Let's do that. Let's hop into the metaverse right now. 86 Celtics at their best. 2024 Celtics, who wins?
I mean, I'd lean the 2024 Celtics.
Of course you would.
I would.
Kid.
These,
they might be
I
listening.
Would.
You're
these
worried
youths.
You're going to be mad.
These
Larry
youths.
Bird, in this day and age where you're allowed to
They would just run him out of the gym with three-point shots.
Oh, you don't think Larry Bird
could? Oh, he could. But everyone on
the roster. He scored 47 with his left hand because he was bored.
But everyone on this roster is capable of, at least in the top nine, for the most part, they are league average or better three-point shooters.
Ted likes this.
And there, I do. I love this subject because I want to ask you about the opponent tonight because you could. There's a lot of quantifiable data out there suggesting that the Oklahoma City Thunder have one of the best teams ever assembled. And you go, well, how can that be? Well, they are outscoring opponents by 12.6 points per game, which is on pace to break an NBA record that has stood for 50 years. What SGA is doing is incredible as far as his ability to drive to the basket. The Thunder's lead for the West number one seed is, in fact, a historically large with an 11-game lead with three-quarters of the way through the season, the Thunder are projected to win the conference by 13 games. That would be the second-largest gap between the number one and number two seeds in the conference since the NBA merger.
Now, that's the Western Conference because you know how much the Celtics won by last year.
Tell us.
A lot.
14.
Just in case.
14 games they won the Eastern Conference by.
Who finished second last year?
New York.
New York. Oh, the Knickerbockers.
And that's the thing, too, is – what the Celtics are doing consistency-wise is really impressive. It's kind of being overshadowed because of teams like Oklahoma City and Cleveland, because right now, if they say they win 58 games, which was their pace, I haven't really looked at it recently, but say they win 58 games, that would have won the Eastern Conference by 8 games last year. All they needed was 50 games to win the East last year, and they're going to flirt with 60 again.
Okay, so the voice you're hearing right now joining WEI Afternoons is Justin Turpin, who, by the way, today makes an appearance on the Midday Show, does the Twitch for the Midday Show, comes down, does an appearance with us, and is still going to go over and report on Thunder versus Celtics at the Garden tonight. You want to talk about a grinder. If any and all of our teams got after it the way that Terp does, Andy, this would be a four-team title town.
Give him $20. He's the employee of the day.
I have to?
Yeah.
I don't carry cash. You know how I feel about cash.
I don't
it's filthy.
Either.
I forgot
all
my wallet.
I mean, if I was at a different Scores, I'd probably have cash. Hi-oh.
All right.
Okay. So, family show. So, Terp, tell me why guys like me, and listen, I'm old school in that, like, you know, I grew up in an age, yes, the Celtics were awesome in the 80s, but I grew up back in the days when it was like, all right, I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop. I'm waiting for something to happen. Even though you would think the 13 titles from the four teams this century would probably alleviate that sort of like bedwetting fear of mine. Why? Like, maybe I'm just old school like that, but like, Cleveland's tough. OKC is tough. Maybe not the Lakers as much. Look at Jokic, 30-20-20 when he rolls out of his bed full of goats. Like, I just don't see it as easy as everybody else does for the Celtics.
No, it's definitely not easy. But when you look, this team's been there and done that. Yeah. When you're looking at Cleveland, they're essentially the same roster. And yes, they're playing much better, but this team, this Cleveland team is currently constructed, hasn't shown they can do it at the next level. The Celtics beat them in 5 games last year. And then you look at Oklahoma City, they're going to get there eventually. But if they're to meet Boston in the finals, I would view it kind of like 2022, where Golden State was the team that had been there and done that, and the Celtics weren't quite ready to win. They hadn't found out how to win yet. And that's how I can view Oklahoma City, because eventually they're going to get there. I mean, you heard the numbers Ted rattled off. This team is really, really good, and they're really, really young. They're the youngest team in the NBA by average year at 24 years old. They have a stockpile of picks still to come. So the Celtics got to take advantage of the window because Oklahoma City's going to be there.
So a team like this team, it scares me. And I was all excited about the C's after the Lakers game. And I think partly it was because, I mean, they had won 9 in a row. They were playing better defense. They came in there pretty much feeling themselves. The Lakers did. And then the Celtics just beat them down. I mean, just, you know, LeBron leaves with a groin pull. You got Luka who's doing the heat pack on the side. They were done. But a team like Oklahoma City, where they do a lot of things, the effort kind of stats, you know, as far as leading the league, and they force turnovers
at the highest
rate. They don't turn the ball over hardly ever. SGA leads the league in drives to the basket, and he's leads the league in free throws made. They do so many things when it comes in those effort kind of categories. Their defense is insane. It's an historically great defense. And I go, okay, well, those are the types of teams that make me nervous when it comes to the Celtics. Like last year, the Indiana Pacers, I mean, they swept them. But the Pacers gave them their best, you know, fight in the playoffs last year because they were young, hungry, and just tried to beat them with pure effort. That's what Oklahoma City does, but with much better talent.
And that's the thing, too, where you mentioned the effort. Nothing shows effort more than defense. Defense is all effort.
Yep.
And when you're looking at Oklahoma City, where they have the best defensive rating in the league, they've held their opponents under 100 points 19 times. Nice. In today's NBA, that's just unheard of.
They haven't
including the Celtics.
Wait, would you roll that one back one more time?
They've held their opponents under 100 points 19 times this year.
The Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yes.
Which in the Scorapalooza that is the modern NBA is extremely.
It's crazy.
That's one out of every three games.
They haven't allowed a player to score 40 points this year. And they've allowed only 8 players to score 30 or more points, which the next closest team is at 16. Right, so
how are you feeling about that 30-30 tonight from Tatum and Brown, Andy?
You could have brought that to my attention before I got my gambling app out.
I will say on that, Andy.
Could have used you in hour number two, Dan.
Something across this homestand that we're really seeing is that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown look so much more comfortable in these big games.
Glad you listened to the three-point stance.
If you look at Cleveland, they combined for 83 points and like 11 assists and double-digit rebounds. Look at what they did against the Lakers. They played excellent defense, combined for another 70-plus points. Like, in these games, they just look so much more comfortable. One, because I think there's a certain swagger where they know they've been there and done that. They did it on the biggest stage. They're feeling confident now. They don't have to act like they hadn't earned it yet. They know that they are the best of the best, and they bring it for these games.
One thing that I'm a little uncomfortable with, I guess.
Intimacy.
What, did you talk to my wife or something? Jeez, keep it a professional here.
I thought you got lucky.
I did get lucky, you pervert. But this whole Porzingis virus that they don't know what it is, but yeah. They're letting him shoot around, hang out with the team, be in the bench area.
You got a story? You got any hints there, Turp?
Could it be an injury they're covering up with a virus thing? Is it really just a virus? If it is a virus, is it concerning that we're in Boston with the best doctors in the world? They can't figure it out. How long could this go? What the hell is going on with Porzingis?
My arm, it's broken.
Well, I think part of it, people are so kind of alerted by it because he's around the team and
yes.
Because he's practicing. If we didn't see any of that, if that wasn't common knowledge, then people wouldn't feel the same. They would be like, oh, he's just actually sick. I mean, then again, when you miss six straight games with an illness, eyebrows start to raise. So I do think part of it is there is something definitely going on that they can't figure out. But part of it could be rest, that they don't want to rush him back. Maybe there's fluid in his lungs or something. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but maybe there's something like that.
Yeah, March 10th, that Willy Abreu lost so much weight because of a virus he picked up. That they're looking 3 weeks ahead. He's not going to be able to put everything back on and feel healthy enough to start the regular season on the road in Texas. So there could be some legitimacy to this viral mandate with Kristaps Porzingis. But I'd be 100% okay if they were like, oh yeah, his leg. I mean, he's got a virus. He's fine, because there's no need to push him right now. And that gets me to the rest of the season. So tonight's the biggest game the rest of the regular season.
Right.
16 games left on the 82 schedule. How do you see them handling it? I think a lot of games are going to go like the game the other night against Utah. Your talent takes you to a big lead. You fall asleep at the wheel for a while. They get back into it. Then you finish the job. It's going to be the some gas, some breaks approach to trying to make sure everyone's healthy for April.
Yeah, they know they're kind of locked into the two seed. And when you look at the rest of the schedule after tonight, they only have three games remaining against teams that are above 500. So they have the luxury to kind of take it easy. And is it really like, are they still probably going to be the favorites, even if they have guys out? Because you have, this week alone, I mean, four different guys setting career highs. It's insane, the depth on this team, but they also understand that they're looking towards the postseason now. So they are going to slow guys down. This, I mean, if Kristaps play might be one of the final times in the regular season that you see everybody together, maybe that New York game, that's the third to last game of the year, maybe if New York's still fighting, but the top three seeds seem to be pretty locked in.
When you see what Al Horford did against the Lakers and his defensive, presence. I mean, he's I think he put in 14, but it was his defense.
Yeah,
that was so good, right? I mean, it's just I love when teams call timeouts, because either when Al Horford scores a bucket under the basket, the team calls a timeout because they can't believe Al Horford scored on you, and it just feels like that guy. You know, he's the insurance for KP. I didn't think they could win the championship without KP, and they essentially did. I mean, he was there for a little bit, but there was a lot of games where he wasn't. Do they need KP to win the whole thing this year?
I think so. I think they do. But like you said, with Al Horford, I mean, the guy's almost 40 years old, and he's still able to defend 1 through 5, can still contribute in a scoring role. So he is absolutely somebody that can slide in and make a difference if they need it. But there's so much film out on this team from last year, and that's probably part of the reason they went on that lull in the middle of the year.
Mm-hmm.
All year long, they kept the same exact roster. There was really no tweaks or anything that people can look at. So all year long, these teams are looking at film of the Celtics because that's who they think they're going to be playing come the postseason. That's who they want to be. So the book was kind of out, and that's why it took them a little bit to get used to it when they kept saying, oh, we're getting used to having Kristaps back. Well, that's because teams are guarding them differently because they spent all summer trying to learn how to do it. Yeah. So I think they do need him because he definitely takes them to another level. And last year, there's more film on that, how they play without Kristaps. So I think they do need him even more so than they did last year.
Turp, can you hang around for one more time?
Absolutely.
Good time for us. All right. Justin Turpin, WEEI.com, is going to stick around. We are talking Celtics, Thunder. We are at Scores. Come on down. The bar's starting to fill up. Drinks are flowing. Apps are being passed around. I'm pregame for Celtics Thunder here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jameson.
You can listen to WEEI on your smart speaker.
Just say, play 93.7 WEEI.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Celtics by three now. Brown sees the shot clock. Against Kessler. Drives it. Dunks it! The Gravedigger comes out in the clutch!
WEEI Afternoons, live from Scores Canal Street, just down the street from the Garden. Also joined by Justin Turpin, WEEI's beat reporter, Celtics insider, who is giving us some insight in tonight's big game. Reminder, stick around. 4:30, Megan Ottolini, and 5:10, Brian Scalabrine will be here in the house for one of his famous live appearances, where I'm assuming Ted Johnson will grab his love handles.
Yeah, we'll see.
In front of
it's kind of a tradition that we have.
Was that, by the way, was that Drew Carter? That was Drew Carter.
That was Drew,
right?
Yes.
He is Joe, Ted, you're probably pretty familiar with him. Remember the old Monday Night Football voice, Joe Tessitore? He did two seasons with Jason Witten.
Yeah, most notably he's a college guy, but yeah, he played Monday Night Football.
It really, like, that, like he cranks it up. Like,
oh, his, absolutely.
His, like, he when he wants to hit, like, 11 on the hyperbole meter.
Absolutely. So, Terp, this game tonight. First of all, is Porzingis going to play?
I think he is. I think he is. I think it was telling when he went from doubtful to questionable.
Okay, I like it. Although he did play. They had the full lineup when they got smoked by OKC last time.
They got smoked in the second half.
Yeah, those count too.
They were great in the first half.
They shot 19%. They scored, what did they score, like 20 points?
29 points. They shot eight, and they made eight buckets. They had 10 turnovers.
Eight shots. When you can count the team's shots for a full half on your two hands, bad half.
Were they coming off a back-to-back, or was it an extended road trip?
It was in the middle of a road trip. But, I mean, just how good they were in the first half, that's not an excuse.
Right.
I will note, too, though, that was the first game in the Joe Mazzulla era that the Celtics shot under 20% from three. So if you're not making your threes like that, you're not going to win. I mean, when you're making under 20% of them, you're not going to win.
So Porzingis plays tonight. What do you think of my idea of challenging? So Jay Williams is out for OKC, so the primary starter is going to be – I mean, scorer will be SGA. What do you think of challenging Jaylen Brown and saying, listen, get in his shorts, take him away?
I love it, and I think he's going to want that. I mean, he takes a tremendous amount of pride in being the guy to – pick up the other team's most challenging offensive player. So he loves that, and I really do think he's going to be up for that challenge. I mean, look what he did to Luka on Saturday night.
Broke him.
Like, that's Finals MVP, Jaylen Brown, right there.
Still
when
got 34, though.
Stuff.
Yeah, I thought he was going to say Finals. When he said Saturday night, I was like, well, he didn't break him.
He scored 30. He's still got 34.
Broke him.
Al did a great job, too.
So if you're – okay, so – everybody knows SGA is good for 30 coming out of bed after he brushes his teeth. Chet Holmgren's a baller. But if it's not those two guys, who's the one tonight that fans should know about on OKC, possibly, if those guys get locked down, breaking your heart or going off?
I mean, you probably remember him from New York, but I love Isaiah Hartenstein there. Mm. I love it. I think he's a perfect
fit
there. He's a huge pickup for them. And when they have a seven-footer on the floor, rather, they are so much better. They are so much more dangerous. So I think he's going to be very annoying on the boards and defensively, so that's somebody to watch. But obviously the headliner in this one's Tatum versus SGA.
Yep.
And I really do expect Jason Tatum to be up for this one. He gets up for these big games, especially in front of the TD Garden crowd. So I expect a big night from him tonight.
SGA has a little bit of a reputation similarly to that of a James Harden when it comes to trying to create fouls. Nobody has made more free throws than SGA has, partly because he's a 90% free throw shooter, but he's able to turn a corner and get by guys.
Yeah.
A lot. His isolation game is as good as anybody's. I mean, do you think not double teaming him? Tatum can D him up one-on-one and be no problem?
I'm curious to see if they go more double big, which Joe Mazzulla's loved the double big lineups this year, and it's been really beneficial for them. And if he's going to be trying to get downhill and trying to attack the rim, you have more rim protectors on the floor when you go with the double big. So I'd expect them to really lean into that tonight to try to slow him down, because the Celtics don't really – we'll see who they decide to leave open. I mean, I didn't really look at the three-point numbers quite yet, but it's usually pretty predictable of who they're going to let shoot on the opposing team, so I'll have to look into those. But I'd expect them to go more double big tonight.
The alternate shooters, or whatever we want to call it, the Derek White, the Peyton Pritchard, the Sam Hauser, the role guys, but big role guys.
Yeah, huge.
What have your thoughts sort of been them picking their spots and sort of have how that's evolved? I mean, Peyton Pritchard obviously leads the charge. That's why he's going to win six-man award. And was also, what, he had 200-plus threes. He put them over the top. So what? How have you seen those guys sort of fall into their roles?
I mean, you just mentioned two of the role players, right? Derek White and Peyton Pritchard. Only, I think, six players have made 200 threes this season. And Derek White and Peyton Pritchard are in that top six.
Unreal.
Role.
And a lot of that is because Jason and Jaylen setting them up. When they're driving and kicking, teams have an option. Well, they're either going to have to go down and double and help with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown because you don't want those guys going one-on-one at the rim, or you got to kind of seep out, let them score, and guard the guys on the perimeter. And that's the thing with Joe Mazzulla. He's done such a great job of teaching these guys the importance of spacing. When they're spacing the floor, you create more opportunities on those drives because they don't know where to go. The defenders don't know where to go. Are you going to let all NBA guys like Jason and Jaylen go one-on-one at the rim, or are you going to let an almost 40% three-point shooter and Derek White and Peyton Pritchard shoot from three? Like, it's such they just built such a deep team. And that's what goes back to what I was saying earlier about how good this team is. Like, there's no weaknesses on the offensive or defensive side. And that really highlights it when your role players are doing that because your superstars are creating for them.
So before we let you go, do you think this is a preview of the NBA Finals? And what's your prediction for tonight?
I think this is a preview of the NBA Finals.
Is
there a team in the West that even comes close to
the Lakers do. The Lakers do. Especially when you're looking at the last 25 games or so. Yeah. They're number one in defense. And if we're going to give Oklahoma City all this credit for their defense, we've got to do the same for Los Angeles. Okay. And if Oklahoma City is the favorite for the final because of their defense, Los Angeles has to be in that conversation as well. But I think the Celtics are really going to come out and really try to take care of this one tonight because, like we said, looking forward, you don't really know how much more opportunities they're going to have the rest of the regular season. I also think if they go 6-1 over a seven-game homestand with wins over Denver, Los Angeles, and Oklahoma City, I think people are really going to start to shut up about the home win or the home struggles at home.
There's so many more games, though, sir. It's only so many more games left. You go, golly, they got 16 games after this, and you go, it'd be easy to kind of, I don't know, just get into, you don't want them to get any bad habits with, you know, 16 games left. It's such a big kind of, that's a lot of games with kind of your second seed already kind of sewn up, right?
Yeah, and Jaylen Brown talked about it the other night, how they're just ramping up towards what he said was the most exciting part of the year. They're sharpening their tools, and that's going to let guys, you're going to be able to test out different lineups, like what two-man lineups, three-man lineups are working. What do you want to see come the playoffs? What can you take away from these that will help towards the playoffs? So you're going to see different wrinkles. It might not necessarily be your stars or your starting lineup on the floor every night, but you're going to see different things that you could possibly see come the postseason.
He is Justin Turpin. Read him over at WEEI.com. He'll have a column off of tonight's big win, I'm predicting, later tonight. Yes, Fitzy?
And make sure you follow him at Justin M. Turpin on the X.
At Justin M. Turpin. We are WEEI Afternoons. We are at Scores on Canal Street because just down the street at the Garden, it is Celtics and Thunder tonight. Preview of the NBA Finals. Should be a fun one. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, they're going to show up. They're going to show out. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we're going to touch on football for a little bit. Been mostly basketball and hockey here by the Garden. It is free agency officially in mere moments here in the NFL. What? 3 minutes, free agency starts.
Are the Pats going to sign anyone?
I hope so. And Cooper Kupp is available. Do we want him? Can we get him? That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.